Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
What is up, everyone? This is your good friend Patrick O'Dowd, and I am joined, of course, once again by my good friend, the lawyer himself, David Ungar, to bring you another edition of the Four Corners Podcast here on the Chair Shot Radio Network, a part of the chairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. ProWrestlingTees.com/the Chair Shot for all of your Chair Shot shirt needs. Dave, as we record here on a Sunday afternoon, where it is apparently boiling in Bakersfield, it is not, it's a mere 87 degrees and sunny here in scenic Massachusetts. We are on the end of a beautiful run of cool, low, upper 70s, low 80s weather. We've had the air conditioning turned off for like a week and a half. It's glorious. I woke up one morning, my alarm goes off at 5:30. It was 55 degrees. It's 55 degrees. Beautiful.
No.
But we're not here to talk about weather, though. You know, I trust you're doing well.
I do like the conversation about the weather, because today is the day I have to pay the true-up bill for my solar, which is always entertaining to watch a couple grand go right out the door, you know, real quick. But other than that, it's going pretty well, man. You know, I can't complain. This summer has not been that terrible. I don't think I told anybody because of what happened afterwards, but I tied my best round ever at a golf course. Went out there Thursday afternoon.
Congratulations.
Went out Thursday afternoon, played like really like everything was going straight. I'm like, what the hell is going on? And then got my first speeding ticket in like a decade on the way home. And I didn't even realize I was speeding. I know, right? Way to just put a ribbon on everything.
Our summer bowling league ended this past week, and that was fun. My teammate and I, it's a doubles league. My teammate Glenn, we were in fifth place going into the final week of the season. In position round, you bowl either the team that is directly in front of you or directly behind you. In our case, it was the team directly behind us. We did not bowl well. We lost 3 out of 4 points. So I project we can finish anywhere from like, we'll finish in the top half of the league. The league had like 19 teams. Or no, not even more than that. It was almost 30 teams because it was the full house. Like it's a 32-lane bowling alley. And so I think we'll be in the top half. It's just a matter of how far we fell based on how everybody else did. And just unfortunate. I do think I finished the season back around where my average is where I want it. I'm back around my 200, which is solid, not spectacular. League bowlers, plenty of league bowlers that are good, average around a 230. You know, those people who really know how to get it going. 200 is what I would describe as respectable. But that's neither here nor there. Fun times. The regular bowling season starts soon. This is my last go on the Four Corners Podcast for a couple of weeks. I'm sure if Dave really wants to, he could get PC Tunney on the show a little bit early to cover it. He's done that before in the past, so I don't know what'll happen with the show. But I've come here with intent. I have two topics today, Dave, that I would like to talk to you.
Oh, it's better than flying blind like we normally do. So that's sure. Progress.
I would like to, on the back half of the second segment of the show, I feel it would be a gross injustice to the news around sports if we don't talk about the ESPN streaming service and deal. I think that is significant sports news that should be covered on what I do believe is the lone sports podcast right now on the Chair Shot Radio Network. Looking at you, Ray Cash. Get your sports podcast back.
We talked about it some on the next episode of Attitude of Aggression. But yeah, from a stamp, but that probably won't come out for a few days. So yeah, we should talk about it here.
Right. Well, we're definitely would talk about it regardless of where else it was talked about, because again, we're a sports podcast. ESPN is a Sports Network. I had a very lengthy discussion with Ray Cash about this, because pulling the curtain back, and I feel comfortable saying this, like we disagreed on whether the ESPN news was bandwagon nerds news. And I argue no, because bandwagon nerds, we don't talk about sports. And yes, I get that professional wrestling is a big part of this network. We also have like 7 million professional wrestling podcasts. And literally the day the news broke, one of our wrestling podcasts was talking about ESPN taking on WWE content and so on and so forth. So we're going to talk about that on the back half of the show. But I want to start today, Dave, talking about sex toys.
Wow. Okay. So we're expanding the scope of the four corners. All right.
We are. We're going to the WNBA, because there is this fascinating thing going on at the WNBA that is finally starting to see some things happen with, you know, some arrests being made. But basically, since late July, or over the past, like, you know, week and a half or so, 2 weeks, there has been this trend that I believe is firmly a copycat haha thing, or like thing that somebody thinks is funny that I don't think they understand really how it's not funny. And that is I believe it was in Atlanta. Somebody threw a sex toy onto the court of a WNBA basketball game. It was a neon green dildo and, you know, made the news, stopped play. Everybody talked about it. Well, it's happened like 4 or 5 more times now in the last week. It looks like the most recent one I could see from the Associated Press was this past Thursday, where it was hit in the most, like, was hit in the closing seconds of Atlanta's Dream's victory over the Sky. And, like, there was one that nearly hit Indiana Fever guard Sophie Cunningham. And throwing shit at any sporting event in general, I find to be juvenile and stupid. And just don't understand. Like, I was the guy back in the WCW Nitro days that would be like, stop throwing shit on the ring. What the fuck? Because people just did it to do it. And setting aside the incredible danger that you're putting somebody in when you're throwing anything from any height down onto a basketball court. Because if you have the arm to get one down from some of the upper decks, like, go talk to the Yankees or something and see if you can get a tryout in the outfield or something, because you got a cannon like that, good on you. It's an unwieldy object. But two, the fact that the WNBA has now had to take like you've never been able to throw things at a sporting, like, that's on the ticket. But the fact that the WNBA now has had to take to like a no bag policy, to more intense search, slowing down people's ability to see a basketball game because of this, I think enough times it's happened, it is a bit of a trend. That now we're having to take people into custody. What the fuck are we doing? Never mind how misogynistic it is to throw a fucking dick at a bunch of women playing basketball. Like, if there was ever a sign of, like, dick slapping, that is what you're doing. And you think it's funny. It's degrading to the people you're throwing it at. Like, you're not throwing trash. You're not throwing, like, you are actually in some states sexually harassing people on the court by doing that. And in my opinion, it's sexual harassment no matter where it takes place. And I there's something decidedly wrong with people. And I just, as a lawyer, what can the WNBA do that they're not already doing?
I don't know, man. That's a tough one because, you know, you've got this situation where, like you're saying, and, you know, they've implemented a bag policy. You know what? What are we? Heightened security. You're not going to be frisking people for sex toys now and that sort of thing. You know, maybe clear bag policy. You know, I mean, maybe like what we get at WrestleMania or SummerSlam or something like that. WWE has been very good about that, to the point that it's almost draconian in its implementation at times. It's like, what the hell are we doing here? So maybe you go to that next level. You know, if you can actually find the people doing it, certainly you've got a basis to ban them from games for life. Absolutely. You've endangered the players. Sure. You've violated numerous other arena and WNBA policies. So you've got that. But from the standpoint of, you know, preemptively, what can you do? Not much. other than what they're already doing. Because I mean, you know, you get into you start dabbling into the whole search and seizure aspect of things, and none of the leagues want to go that far. You know, I think, you know, the standpoint of metal detectors, clear bag policy, things like that, that's where you need to be. From a deeper standpoint, though, like you're saying, this is pretty juvenile at best. And yeah, the memes that have come out of this stuff have been kind of amusing at times and that sort of thing. And I get that, you know, we're immature people a lot of the times. But from the standpoint of really what's going on, this is at a time when the WNBA is enjoying its largest surge in popularity, probably in its history, because of right. the people they brought in, Caitlin Clark and that sort of thing. Angel Reese.
And Toby Cunningham, like all of them. Yeah.
Yeah. They're financially successful. They're expanding. You know, there's more acceptance of it, especially on the male side of things, than there ever has been before. And then you get something like this as a way to kind of like try and, it's almost like a get back in the kitchen sort of thing, you know, let's do this yes. sort of bullshit going on. And it's just like, you know, and I kid around with my wife sometimes, like, yeah, you know, ever since I let you out of the kitchen, it's been all over. But that's just a joke between me and her. But this is, yeah, she's looking at me funny. Right. But I mean, this is for real. And I mean, this is like, you know, right. that's just something where you're not going to slow this down, and trying to marginalize women by this is like, I'm not sure what the point of it all is.
I'll give you what somebody thinks the point is, because a man was arrested in Georgia.
Good.
After he was accused of throwing a sex toy on the court during the Atlanta Dream's July 29 matchup against Golden State. The report said he threw another sex toy during the Dream's August 1st game against the Phoenix Mercury. That instance did not result in a delay of play, so apparently he didn't get as much behind that throw. He told the police this was supposed to be a joke, and the joke was supposed to be viral. So if this is what you need to do to go viral, you are a sad, sad, small human being. Another man in Phoenix was arrested after he threw a sex toy in the crowd at a Mercury game. 18-year-old pulled the sex toy from his sweater pocket and threw it towards the seats in front of him, striking a spectator in the back. The man told the police it was a prank that had been trending on social media, and he bought the toy earlier to take to the game. He was later tackled by a volunteer at the arena who had witnessed the incident and began following him as the man tried to leave. Like, I'm not for vigilantism, but get yours, bro, because this is shit like this is insane. And again, people are like, oh, it's a prank, you should be laughing at it, it's funny. It's not, though. It's just not. It's insulting. And why you got to make something about you? And that's the thing about, like, you're trying to make a professional women's basketball game about you. Look at me. The pay attention to me gif comes to mind.
Yep.
And so if you are someone who is doing this, or someone who is thinking about doing this, don't be a dumb shit. Don't be a douchebag. Grow up and respect women. Don't tell me you respect women. Don't wonder why you can't get a date if you're throwing dildos at a WNBA basketball game. Just don't.
Yeah. The guy saying that he wanted this to go viral is some of the next level stupidity, because if you could predict what was going to go viral on social media, everybody would do it. Nobody knows what's going to hit, you know, and
I will say it was successful. Like, it went viral.
Yeah.
For all the wrong reasons.
Right. Right. I just think, you know, trying to predict that stuff is just because you just don't know. But yeah, it's immaturity at its best. And it's it is. Yeah. There's a level of misogyny to it for sure. There's just.
Right.
I don't know, man. And hopefully the WNBA just kind of like, you know, like Luke in Last Jedi, just brush it off your shoulders and move on and just say, yeah, whatever. You know, it's not going to
the best of the Star Wars sequel movies.
I'm not saying that.
it is the best of the Star Wars. You heard it here on not Bandwagon Nerd.
They heard it on podcast. They heard it somewhere. They heard it on Game Gone Wrong as well. I shouted it out, a similar sort of thing there. So, but yeah, I don't see this really slowing down the train and the momentum. It's just, it is, I can see it's viral. It's somebody trying to be viral, somebody trying to be funny. But I do think there's a level of that whole mentality, like, you know, hey, you're just girls, you know, you're not the guys. And let me remind you of that.
Right.
It's like, all right, whatever you got to do to make yourself feel better, man. I mean, I'm glad to see you climbed out of your mom's basement long enough to throw this sex toy on the court. Nice.
Very fair. All right. We're going to take our first commercial break. We come back. We are going to talk about the news of the hour within regards to how you get your sports. We're going to break down the ESPN announcement that they are launching a streaming service in just under 2 weeks. So stick around for that. We're going to break it all down for you. You are listening to Four Corners Podcast here on the ChairShot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
All right. Welcome back, everyone, to the Four Corners Podcast here on the ChairShot Radio Network, part of TheChairShot.com. Patrick O'Dowd, David Ungar, talking to you about all the great news in the world of sports or sex toys. You know, first segment was all about sex toys. So good time there. But we can't ignore the biggest story out of sports this past week. ESPN on August 7th, so a few days back from when this played, I think it was Thursday. It was Wednesday. They announced Wednesday that they are going to start a direct-to-consumer service, an enhanced app that will debut on August 21st. It was coincided with Disney's quarterly earnings report, which makes a lot of sense since Disney owns ESPN along with ABC, Hulu. And you heard us talk about some of this too on Bandwagon Urge yesterday, but we definitely talked about the Disney Hulu absorption yesterday as well. There you go, kayfabe yesterday. But the things that are really important to pay attention to here for me in the start of this, one is our little wrestling corner, our professional wrestling corner of the universe, that WWE's PLE's premium live events are going to start moving over to ESPN beginning in 2026 as their contract with Peacock expires. No more WWE PLEs on Peacock. You will now move over to ESPN and their new app. And then they announced a significant expanded deal with the NFL that's going to include them scooping up Red Zone, the very, very popular service. How would you describe it? It's a channel, basically, or a service that, like, it just goes to games when scoring opportunities are happening or something like that, right? Like, I don't have Red Zone. So
I watched it exclusively last year because I think if you remember last year, DirecTV had that fallout with one of the networks. And right, when they eventually resolved it, they gave us all Red Zone for free as a kind of like, thanks for sticking with us. So I exclusively watched Red Zone last year. And yeah, it's supposed to be just when people get in the Red Zone and scoring opportunities. But there's a lot more to it than that. They go from game to game to game, and there's a lot of it that has nothing to do with Red Zone opportunities or scoring things. So yeah, it's not DirecTV it's not even DirecTV anymore. It's on YouTube. It's not Sunday Ticket where you can zoom in on one game specifically and watch all of it. But I actually prefer Red Zone to Sunday Ticket because, I like seeing the other games going on. And sure, if the Commanders are, if it's a tight game, and they're really, really good about, if there's a tight game at the end, they lock in on that game and they pan away from it very briefly, and then they're always coming back to it. So Red Zone is really a huge selling point on this thing, and definitely something where I was like, you know, because I was like looking up, until they announced this, I'm like, God, you know, I need to do something about Red Zone this year. And I couldn't find out how to get it because they weren't really offering it yet on DirecTV. And then this announcement comes up and I'm like, oh, problem solved.
Right. And this comes in the wake of Nielsen announcing that this was the first time ever that streaming usage surpassed broadcast and cable combined in the United States television. So streaming was at 44.8% of content consumed compared to 44.2%. This Nielsen started keeping track of this in May 2021. And just to give you where it was in 2021, 64% for cable and broadcast compared to 26%. So that is a significant flip and change, and is where we are today.
It really is.
And here's what you get in addition to what we just talked about with this ESPN DTC. It's going to start with around 25 million subscribers, as those currently getting ESPN Plus will migrate to the new platform. It is going to give you all of the ESPN networks, so ESPN, ESPN2, ESPNU, the SEC network, the ACC network, ESPN News, ESPN Deportes, ESPN on ABC, ESPN Plus, ESPN 3, SEC N Plus, and the ACC NX, as well as being able to bundle the NFL Network and NFL Red Zone through a deal with NFL Plus Premium. All of that, and as we mentioned before, WWE Premium Live Events. ESPN is banking on people ready to absorb the $29.99 a month price tag for all of that content. Now, there are some caveats that people need to know. If you are a DirecTV subscriber with ESPN, you don't get all of it, but you get some of it, including, from what I've read, unless I'm wrong, the PLEs.
You're right.
Because
that's my understanding
when this news first broke, I was among those who was like, well, I guess I'm catching the highlights, because I couldn't justify adding a $29.99 streaming service or bundling Disney Plus, because at the time the news about bundling hadn't happened either, or what was going on with Hulu. And $29.99, in my opinion, is steep for some of these streaming services, especially when you consider the ones that do like ad tiers and no ad tiers. Like, I'm actually one of the few people who's probably going to keep his Peacock subscription, because I actually enjoy the content on Peacock. I know that Peacock has a contract with the Big Ten, and Big Ten basketball and football games get streamed on Peacock as well. And you get replays of games that were streamed by the NBA or played by the NBC family. So for some of my sporting content, I'm going to stick with it. The Olympics is going to be on Peacock as well.
They do a lot of stuff with golf. Golf's on Peacock quite a bit as well. Peacock's not a bad. It's not a bad. And there's maybe an even more compelling reason for wrestling fans to keep Peacock, as I'm sure we will probably discuss shortly. Or do you want me to go?
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, the big question, and we talked about this on the upcoming episode of Attitude of Aggression, is that no one knows for sure what's happening to the back catalog for WWE. All the past pay-per-views, all the archival content, it's on Peacock right now. And there is no answer. I've looked into it myself. I've asked Grok and, hey, do you know anything about this? And it's like, nope. Nobody knows what's happening to that. I'm assuming there's going to be a bidding war. I don't buy the narrative that no one cares about the back content. That's bullshit. Lots of people care about the back content. So if Peacock cuts the deal and keeps the catalog because it's already there.
I will say, much like HBO Max, though, even on Peacock, they've cut away so much of that old content. Because when the original WWE Network hit, the first thing I watched was World Class Championship Wrestling Archives. Yeah. Like, I started watching that shit,
right?
And was watching the Von Erichs taking on the Freebirds and all of that.
Yeah.
And a lot of that has gone the way what they've done with a lot of the old content that like old heads like me like, is they've really only kept content that had sort of 90s and like late 90s on stars that were on those programs before they were famous. So like, I'm also a big AWA guy.
Yeah.
And you can get a lot of great Midnight Rockers footage because they kept those shows because Shawn Michaels is in there.
Yeah,
but I'm intrigued to see what happens with this content.
And
I would be very interested to see what the actual streaming numbers were for that. I'm also just interested because it's like, if cable and satellite subscribers already get ESPN Plus, they will automatically migrate to the new service. That reads different than if you have ESPN, you'll be able to watch them. So well, everything's just very, very confusing.
Yeah, and I've had ESPN Plus for a while, and that came in through the Disney bundle, right? Because you got Disney, Hulu, and ESPN right. Plus. And that's how I was able to catch, like, you know, so many Capitals games without it being centerized, because it knew what my favorites were, and it would point me in the right direction. So I think, like, what I'm understanding is ESPN Plus gets absorbed into this DTC stuff, along with NFL Network, right. along with all the ESPN stuff, and great. For me, it will not be hard for me to cut the ties with DirecTV because I think they overcharge the shit out of their service and have been for a long time.
Well, but I say this, yes, and I think that we do ourselves a disservice because we basically pay for the same services twice.
Yes. Yes.
Because most of what we watch on DirecTV, we could stream. Right. And vice versa.
The one element that's other than the back catalog for WWE, the one big element of this that is not known is UFC. What happens with UFC? Because they've right. been a big part of this, but you had to get Fight Pass to actually watch like the events and that sort of thing. And I don't anticipate that getting rolled into this $29.99. I haven't heard anything about that. UFC is immensely popular. So I'm curious as to what happens with them, because that's another big element of this whole thing. But I think, yeah, from the standpoint of like, and it's going to be different for every person, of course, but from the standpoint of what am I consuming, it's like, yeah, man, the only reason I was keeping DirecTV was because of the ESPN stuff. And then come to realize when this whole thing broke down, so I go into my Vizio and I've got, you know, the whole free home, and realize, well, shit, there's the ESPN app on here. And it automatically, as soon as I logged into DirecTV, it integrated all my stuff into the TV. Now, and I'm like, well, gosh, you know, I still would have needed the DirecTV subscription to do that. This will eliminate that. It's going to save me at least $100 a month to cut the cord. And I'm okay. It's like, okay, the one right. thing I won't have is the Golf Channel. I can live without that. I don't need to watch Back to the Future on reruns like I tend to get locked into. There will be some stuff to get used to, I think, not being able to like catch an actual regional football game or something. But there's all sorts right. of other ways to stream those. So, yeah, I hear a lot of the wrestle heads are out there saying, oh, just get a VPN and use Netflix through the international feed. Okay.
I mean, do what you got to do.
Yeah. You know, I'm not advocating piracy or whatever the right, hell it right. is.
Don't be stealing.
Yeah, but I mean, I get it.
The chairshot.com does not endorse the stealing. No. Of cable. I will be interested to see what this actually looks like at rollout. I will be interested to see what the reviews are of this at rollout. I do not have a high amount of faith that this is really going to change all that much. It's just for another reshuffling of cable. It's cable. And that's all we've been doing ever since the streaming trend thing became popular. And the reality is we keep getting closer and closer to going back to cable. We're just streaming. Because like now we're right. getting these streaming services fusing together and merging. And some of them yeah. are going on where monopoly is becoming a monopoly. It's hilarious. It's cyclical. It just goes around and around and up and down.
And we've talked about it, how you look at the streaming outlook. I mean, the biggest impact to this is probably going to be like DirecTV and those consumers, because they're going to lose some people, I think.
I think so.
But
I don't think they're going to lose nearly as many people as you think they are. They have their own streaming.
Oh, they do.
DirecTV has streaming.
They do.
Everybody streams.
But I think like you can draw like a parallel, like what we're talking about in college football with these two mega conferences rising, you know, the Big 18 or whatever the hell it is, and the SEC. And now you've got Disney is really consolidating. And like it should be noted that you can get the Disney bundle with this for $29.99. Right. And then
here's what I'm going to say to this. Both of those conferences aren't just exclusively on one network. And right. that's the thing that's really kind of nuts. Like I'll use the Big Ten as an example because I'm more familiar. The Big Ten has a television deal with CBS. They have a television deal with Peacock. They have streaming rights with Peacock. They have they can in theory, if there are no other games, end up on ESPN. They have the Big Ten Network, which is a deal with Fox. They have the Friday FS1 game, which is on Fox. They're so spread out, and I think the SEC is more consolidated than the Big Ten. The Big Ten is way more diversified. If I were to put it out there, but like it's just even if you want to continue to catch your localized games, which is more of a baseball problem than anything, you got to have every one of those streaming services. So we're all going to end up paying, guys. Like, and bottom line, we're all going to end up paying for this stuff, regardless of whether it's cable or streaming or otherwise.
There's one aspect of what I was listening to Goodell was talking after the deal went down, and he was talking about the Red Zone platform and mentioning how ESPN, now that they had the rights to Red Zone, was going to explore kind of maybe expanding that to other sports, which is interesting if they could pull that off.
I do not think you can do it. So I've heard about it with college football. I think you can do it if it's exclusive to a conference. Like if you're ESPN and you have the SEC and you did like a Red Zone for the SEC, that could possibly work. But the caveat to that is when you look at an NFL schedule versus a college football schedule, the NFL has two time blocks on Sunday, right? Like most of your games are starting at 1 p.m. on the East Coast, and Red Zone makes a lot of sense because you've got 20 some games going on all at once. College football, you got to understand there's 136 college football teams. And so to Red Zone, and because these conferences have all their different deals, it makes it extraordinarily difficult, one, to be able to navigate all those television contracts and then try to do that. Now, with ESPN and exclusivity with the SEC, maybe you can do the SEC. But again, instead of having like eight to nine games and then the West Coast like four games or whatever, like you have three early SEC games, maybe tops. Three after, you know, maybe a couple of like the way that it paces out, it's like every 3 hours you chunk it along with the SEC to where you get those evening games and all that. So to me, if I'm a fan, like I can do that on a streaming service with just multiple tabs. Like I don't need Red Zone for that. Hell, you can argue it's a little bit harder with that with television contracts with the NFL. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Are there any other sports you think would lend itself well to that kind of format? I mean, like maybe like the NBA last 2 minutes within 5 points of each other, maybe you flip to that sort of thing. That might be okay. But
maybe I think there's an argument for Major League Baseball. I think Major League Baseball actually has something like that because, again, a lot of their schedules follow sort of a similar, like a lot of teams are playing all at once. And that's what really makes it work in a lot of sense. It's the regional nature of everything that makes it hard with baseball. It drives me crazy. And I don't even live in Illinois, but it's hilarious to me that a significant portion of the state of Illinois can't watch a Chicago Cubs game. And the same thing with the Cardinals down, like if you go downstate, you can't watch it. Like certain parts of the region can't watch Cardinals because of all the weird affiliate deals that MLB has like put in place. It's gross. It's stupid. I hate it. Just jumping on the call, our good friend PC Tunney. PC Tunney, are you going to spend $29.99 a month for an ESPN streaming service?
I have DirecTV, so that's probably not going away, considering it's Wi-Fi and everything else, and a lot of other stuff is in that. But like, if I didn't, or if I wanted to change something, I've had this discussion 3 times already this week, so I'm pretty versed in it. I know exactly what you're getting. I think the cool thing is, while I'm sticking with what I have, I'll also be able to just log in on the app using my provider login, and I'll be able to use that as well. So,
which is how I've watched so many sports on the internet is using my DirecTV provider login to catch stuff.
The biggest thing to note here is this is a huge win for ESPN against DirecTV and cable providers, because they've had their disputes where they've not been on air because disputing money-wise. And for customers, a lot of people, even if they cancel that, they're going to have like $100 to play with. So even if they have to get Wi-Fi somewhere else or they need to add a few channels here or there, they're probably going to come out ahead.
Yeah. Again, I'm interested, you know, in 11 days from when we're recording this podcast, that app is launching. So we'll get a first look and we'll learn all about it sooner than we think. And, you know, Dave, we'll talk about it when I come back from my hiatus. because schools be opening, and that means Patrick be working starting next week. So good times. All right. We are going. Thank you for jumping in on that, Tunny. It is time to wrap this episode of the Four Corners Podcast up. Before we get out of here, David Ungar, tell everybody where they can find you on the Chair Shot Radio Network and on the socials. That's where you're going.
Yeah, you can find me on X and Blue Sky at Attitude Ag. That is at Attitude AGG, Facebook.com/Attitude of Aggression and at Attitude of Aggression, all one word, on Instagram and on Threads.
Well, and you can catch me on the socials at Wrestling Realist. That is at WrestlingRealist. You can catch me every Monday, Tuesday. And we did it. We had a Wednesday. We did it. We went like an hour and a half with the Greg DeMarco show, which is once again, as I predicted.
You got 4 months of shit to talk about. That's how long it takes, you know?
Fair enough. But we got it done, damn it. And Greg keeps trying to siphon like it was more my issue than his. I will have you know, I was around for multiple recording sessions that we just couldn't do. Anyway, also, it lasted all of, what, 2 episodes? Tony, I told you we would go back to the DeMarco show. Like that babyface heel crap was not gonna be a thing. So thank you, everyone. That's gonna do it for this week's edition of the Four Corners Podcast. I will see you all in a few weeks. I hope that the podcast keeps going. Maybe we can impress upon our good friend PC Tunney to show up a little bit earlier and chat some sports with Dave so that he can just pontificate about how great the Brewers are and send videos of Cub fans getting pissed off that the Brewers are doing devil magic day in and day out. We will have quite, maybe, you know, I don't know if Ray Cash might want to. I don't know. We'll have to see.
They make Ray Cash broadcast from a closet somewhere nowadays. So, I mean, Jesus.
He's lost in Buford, Texas. That's where he is right now. We got to wrap this podcast up. We got to get out of here. So thank you ever for listening. This has been a great episode of the Four Corners Podcast. We will see you next week here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.